Ladies and gentlemen, a good and healthy good morning from Hamburg. This is Willem Berner speaking. I'm here together with my colleague Olaf Borkers and Niklas Lissner. Today, we want to present to you our results for the first 3 months of 2020. But as it is of major interest and importance, we are starting with an update of the current situation for our portfolio. As all of you surely follow the daily news, I will have seen that many jurisdictions in Europe have slowly started to open up from the lockdown and started their way to normality. A new normality, as it is said by many experts. The first shop openings we saw since 20th of April in some of the German federal states. However, such openings were still very much limited as they were subject to many restrictions. The most controversial discussed limitation was the so-called 800 square meter GLA rule, hindering the bigger and also the anchor tenants to start business again. Leaving aside a lengthy discussion about the rationality of such restriction, this rule was of course very disappointing for our tenants and also for us. This German 800 square meter rule was only removed over time and state by state, with Hamburg being among the last states to abolish it just the day before yesterday. Now, generally, most of our tenants in our portfolio countries can open up again. Restrictions still apply for certain concepts, e.g. cinemas, hairdressers, beauty salons, fitness studios, and also gastronomy. As the governmental decisions sometimes come with very short notice, it takes some time for many tenants to open up. One should bear in mind that the shops have been closed for weeks, and logistics, human resources, and health security issues have to be managed and secured at the same time. This is especially true for gastronomy, which just recently was permitted to open up again in some regions in Germany, but still subject to strong health restrictions. Talking about security restrictions. For example, in most markets, there are still and will be for the foreseeable future some restrictions for the operations of shops and the shopping centers, e.g., it is mandatory to wear masks, face masks, the distance between people shall be at least 1.5 meters at any time, number of customers in a shop is restricted to a certain number per GLA, and also the shop's areas are divided to manage the customer flow to avoid health risks. While people seem to have very responsibly adjusted and accepted this, as part of the current new normality, it is still, needless to say, a big impediment for the retail business. Managing this unlocking process and the corresponding health and security restrictions is a very important and complex task. We are impressed by the fact that the people that are engaged with the operation of our shopping centers are doing everything they can, objectively and responsibly, and with the greatest personal commitment to safely resume business operations under these special circumstances. Our special thanks and respect go to them. Coming now to some operating numbers in this reopening phase. On average, as of the beginning of this week, approximately 85% of our shops in Germany and Austria were open again. For Poland, such number was around 75%, and for the Czech Republic, and Hungary about around 60%. Such numbers are now to be increased day by day. The customer frequency are of course still lagging behind, but on average for our portfolio we have, just shortly after the start of the appreciable reopenings, reached a frequency of a good 50% of normal levels. We see a clear positive trend. Depending on region and differing opening processes by region, such frequencies vary among the centers between 30% and 70%. So life is coming back to the centers. This is good news. However, the impact of the corona pandemic on tenants and therefore on us was and still is very substantial. It is clear that the tenant turnover, especially in some segments, will still be low compared to normal times. Given the economical and legal situation resulting from various governmental relief measures for tenants, Our collection ratio for May and April was around 30%. Such numbers are still subject to change. We are, of course, in close consultations with ECE, which in turn is in constant talks with the tenants to find commercially feasible solutions. Taking into effect the magnitude of the negative impact of the pandemia on stationary retail in general and on our business, such special arrangements with tenants may, among others, vary from rent deferrals and rent holidays to cost-saving measures and temporary limitations in opening hours. The cases are handled on a case-by-case basis and, as good as possible, in a cooperative spirit. However, such negotiations are not easy for both sides. Having said that, you will have noticed that already by now, and since the start of the corona crisis, some well-known tenants have filed for insolvency, among them Karstadt Kaufhof and Karstadt Sports, as well as Esprit, Hallhuber, or Sinn. Such tenants account on a proportionate basis for around 4.6% of our rents, and all these tenants plan to restructure and continue their business. Even though the centers have started to open up and come back to life, given the current economic situation, the unpredictable customer behavior, and the development of turnovers of our tenants and the outcome of the tenant negotiations, a forecast of 2020 is not possible, as we have communicated before. Behind the background, we have also, as already announced before, decided to propose to the AGM to cancel the dividend for 2019 to further strengthen our liquidity. And on a consolidated basis, our liquidity position currently stands at 883 million. Also, it's very important how we continue to have very trustful and cooperative talks with our banks to inform them about the situation and its development, and also to secure the upcoming refinancings. More to that later in the call. After the update of the current situation in our centers and concerning the Deutsche Euroshop Group, let me now come to the results of the first quarter of 2020. Such first quarter marks a turning point for us, with still very limited negative impacts from the crisis situation. Accordingly, we still can present satisfactory financial figures for the first 3 months of this year. Let's start with some operating numbers for Q1. Due to the corona impact and the fact that not all of our tenants were able to provide us with the numbers, it does not make sense, too much sense, to compare them with previous year. Nevertheless, we of course want to provide them to you. On slide 4, you see the retail turnover of our tenants in the first 3 months of this year, with a big minus of 15.9% on a like-for-like basis for Germany and a similar number abroad. As you can see, all segments saw, unsurprisingly, negative turnover developments due to the impact of the corona pandemic starting early and mid-March. Until then, many retailers commented that January and February didn't start too bad. Anyway, the numbers are as they are. Coming from the operations to the financials, starting with the revenues on page 5, the numbers after the first 3 months of 2020 show the first impact of the pandemic. Revenues decreased just slightly by 0.9% to now 55.8 million. As a result of a special legal situation abroad. In most jurisdictions, new and sometimes very complicated emergency laws were introduced by governments to cushion the effects of the virus for tenants, ranging from temporary suspension of rents to the deferral of rents or a combination of both. Without this first corona impact, the revenues would have increased by 0.5%. You can see on the lower right-hand part of the slide, our share of domestic and international sales slightly changed. This is due to the temporary suspension of rents in Poland. On page 6, we show you the development of our EBIT. EBIT for rents and decreased to now 48.3 million, which is a minus of 2%. Due again to the decline in rents and also some higher operating expenses here to mention it's worth especially the one-off effect from financing costs in relation to the extension of our credit line this year, and also some higher consultancy expenses. The cost ratio was 10.3%, and further components of this of the EBIT are the center operational costs, comprising the center management fees and non-recoverable ancillary costs. Next is our financial results. Here you can track the changes on page 7. The financial result deteriorated by 0.6 million to now minus 5.7 million, including a one-off effect. Major partially offsetting inputs factors for the change were the exceptional tax-related one-off interest income of 2.5 million last year, and to the positive interest savings of 1.5 million this year. This leads us to the EBT adjusted for valuation on page 8. Such result came down from 42.3 million to 40.8 million, which is a minus of 3.7%. Also here, the main input factors were the interest savings on the one hand side and the tax-related one-off interest income last year. Excluding the one-offs, the EBIT adjusted for valuation would have increased by 2.6%. Looking at the EPRA earnings on the next page, they declined by 9.5 million, now 38.5 million. Here, the one-off tax refund and, again, as just mentioned, the related interest income were the major influence factors. EPRA earnings per share decreased from 77 cents to now 62 cents, and excluding the one-offs, they would have remained closely to the previous year level at 62 cents per share. Now I'd like to come to the consolidated profit of the group on the next page. This decreased by 11.4 to now 28 million. Again, you see the same effects from the tax-related one-offs of minus 8.9 million. And additionally, we had higher investment costs in an amount of 2.9 million. Smaller other changes resulted from the standing assets and other deferred taxes. Earnings per share decreased from 64 cent to 45 cent. Excluding the one-off items, EPS would have decreased by 4 cent from coming from 49 cent. On page 11, we have outlined the development of the FFO. For the first 3 months of the year, the FFO, which excludes valuation results and the one-off tax items, it decreased slightly from 63 to 62 cents. This is mainly due to the corona-related lower revenues and some higher operational expenses, and you can find the detailed calculation on the right-hand side of the slide. Coming from the P&L to our very, very solid balance sheet on page 12, our total assets were slightly higher, now standing at 4.59 billion. That's an increase of 35 million compared with the reporting date end of 2019. As of March, end of March 2020, current and non-current financial liabilities stood at 1.5 billion. This was 3.1 million higher than at the end of 2019. Here, scheduled repayments were offset by an increase of a loan by 7.5 million for the financing of investments in the A10 Center. Non-current deferred tax liabilities increased by 4.9 million to now 383.6 million, resulting from the regular tax depreciation. All other current and non-current liabilities and provisions also remained rather unchanged. Total equity, including minorities, increased by 30 million, and our equity ratio remains at a very strong 57.3%, and the consolidated LTV now stands at 30.7%. On a look-through basis, this number is now 32.9%, also a very reasonable and low level. Let's now come to the financial debt on the next two pages, where we give you some more information. Some 700 million of our consolidated bank debt mature in the next 5 years. We still see, as in the past, potential for some reductions in our interest costs over the next years. Under the assumption that the corona pandemic situation stays under control and the situation stabilizes further. Currently, our consolidated debt bears an average interest rate of 2.36%, and for your information, given the current interest rate environment and actual quotations from banks, we still could refinance our debt around 1.5% for 10 years in Germany. Our weighted maturity of our loan portfolio now stands at 5.4 years, and on the right-hand side of page 14, you will see that we just have fixed a loan of 70 million at a rate of 1.37% interest rate, and that is even including a forward fee for 10 years for our City Arkaden in Wuppertal. Coming now to the outlook. After the status report about the immediate impact of the pandemic and the current situation, we are, besides all pain, looking confident ahead. And as business life awakes and continues, we want to give you a short outlook on our so-called normal operations and our financing activities. You'll find a summary of the major points on slide 15. On the leasing side, we see that the market is understandably in a very weak condition, but releasing activities continue to a certain extent. We are very happy that we just have recently, and also amid the lockdown, signed a lease agreement with Kaufland for replacement of the big and important anchor tenant Real in the A10 center. This is very important and also a good signal for the regular releasing process of the center. Looking at CapEx, we are, of course, going to further review and postpone non-essential programs, among them also some at your service and small beautification investments. But for sure, we will go on with all essential and required investments, like for new shops or for necessary infrastructure. We are also happy that all of our German centers are now connected to the digital mall since end of last year. While the online availability check is working for approximately 1.9 million products in the EC portfolio, the next steps will be the possibility to click and reserve products. Here, the corona pandemic has slowed down the activities on the one hand for obvious reasons. However, on the other hand, the crisis facilitates the digitalization of the overall retail business, as the crisis has shown how important it is for retailers to be part of the omni-channel world. This surely will have been noticed by most tenants, which we need to participate in the digital mall to make it even more attractive. Lastly, let's have a look at the financing activities. Already in January, we have extended our credit line for 150 million for 4 years, and amid the lockdown, we have signed a loan agreement for the refinancing of 70 million for the City Arkaden in Wuppertal, which become due end of this year. So far, we are also making good progress on two refinancing for a total amount of 136 million, which become due only mid of next year, but which we want to secure in due course. All banks we are working with have confirmed us that they continue to work on such refinancings, also under the current extraordinary situation. We are happy to report to you that we have such continued trustful and cooperative talks with our banking partners. This was my presentation. As a final and closing remark, and based on what I've said before, the management of Deutsche EuroShop is confident looking ahead, even though this is an unprecedented and challenging situation for all of us. Keep well, and thank you for listening.
The first question is from the line of Rob Ferdi from Green Street Advisors. Please go ahead.
Good morning, gentlemen. It's Rob Ferdi. Thank you very much for taking the questions, giving me the opportunity to ask you some questions because many others haven't done a conference call this time around. So first of all, I have a few questions, but first of all, I know 85% of your stores are open, but can you tell me how much of the theoretical rent has now opened?
Rob, the situation is changing really day by day. So this is by numbers, and for the purpose of estimation, you probably would also could easily use also roughly 85%. However, as it's changing daily, and we need to see the economical impact, who's really actually paying and who's asking for property reductions and deferrals, it would be probably not the an easy back of the envelope calculation if you would translate that into who would be paying tomorrow morning again. I need to say that frankly, otherwise property collection ratio could have been a bit higher. So as the tenants have gotten their some reliefs supported by legal activities of the government, there is now some time to negotiate with them to come back to more normal levels of collection ratios and rent levels. This is what I could tell you so far, if this is the direction of your question. Yeah, and of course we hope and assume that with opening up of the shops, the collection ratio moves that way, but it probably will not be that quickly.
Sure. So how, I know a lot of shops are allowed to open now. Have all of the shops that are allowed to open by legislation actually opened?
No, not yet. So this is really the number that are open, not the ones that are allowed to open, because for some of them, as I said before, they need to shuffle their logistics, their people, and to open up. So that's why I say it hopefully is changing daily. So this so-called 800 square meter rule just has been removed by in some states in the last 48 hours. So I hope, besides gastronomy, that we can increase that number good day by day. But it's not a bad number. Yeah? Talking about that, we just have opened up, let's say, in the last 1 week or 2 weeks, a substantial amount of shops are allowed to open up the bigger stores. Yeah? So, of course, it is behind all tenants to motivate them to open up as soon as possible. But on the other hand, it needs to be done safely, yeah? And as we have those requirements within the shopping centers and the shops. But most of the tenants are really behind to really open up as soon as possible.
Okay. And if we just go to the actual rent collection, so appreciate you said 30% of April and May. Are those months actually due right now, or have you pushed out the payment deadlines into the second half? And then how are you thinking about the rent that has not been collected? In your mind, is this all being provided for as a bad debt, or do you think it's deferred and it will be collected in second half or maybe 2021? And what conversations are you having with your tenants then about this rent?
Yeah, first of all, the system here we have for the whole of the portfolio is that we have monthly rent to being paid upfront at the beginning of the month. So that's why we have a very good collection ratio still for March, because the trouble really started in the second week of March. So this tells you that we do it month by month. As this only happened in the second quarter, you wouldn't see that in the numbers, besides the small effect from Poland that you have seen for 2 weeks' time in Poland. So we will have to carefully look at each and individual deferred payment when we do the Q2 numbers, and of course treat insolvency cases differently as other strong tenants that probably don't want to pay and others that can pay. Will be delegate task for the end of Q2, but we will, of course, do it like that and decide how we treat it. So it depends then on the strengths of the tenant and the expectation we have concerning that.
I have one final one, please. Just on the layout of centers post-COVID-19 and how you guys are thinking about it, because obviously gastronomy and entertainment leisure has been quite impacted, but this is the way shopping centers were moving. How do you think this will play out for the medium term at least?
I strongly believe, besides, as I said before, the pain we have now and maybe for the next 2, 3, 4 months, I strongly believe that people, if the coronavirus becomes under control, they like to live, they like to go out, and they like to meet and entertain. And I was extremely surprised to see pictures on the internet from Australian shopping centers that were packed just last week, and they were packed like pre-Christmas times, in normal times. I'm not expecting that we jump back to that right away, but I expect we will come back to a much more normal life. It will take some time. Everybody's losing in the intermediate, and the long-term outcome is not clear yet, but I do believe people will come back. They might behave a bit different, and this is a new normality we're all talking about and not knowing what it is. And it's crucial that it's not coming as quickly back as we all would hope for. But I think we'll come back. People forget, to be honest, and they want to live. They want to go out.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Next question comes from the line of Georg Kanters from Bankhaus Lampe. Please go ahead.
Hey, good morning from Düsseldorf. You have this big, large variety in the footfall in the different centers. So I would like to know what are the best and the worst centers. Is this more due to ease of regulation, or is this the location, other factors?
No, I would really allocate that to the timing of the process where those centers are in. For example, at the lower end is our center in Passau, which is a really great center, but Bavaria was one of the most strict ones here in Germany. So they just come a little behind. Yeah, so they are not over-concerning critical candidates. I think people behave in most of the areas the same. So we see the same effects in Poland, for example, and in Czech Republic whenever they come into the market. Really frequency is coming back. And the question is how quick, how fast they will come back to more normal times. Yeah?
And what would be the best center?
Yeah, we have very good numbers for the MTZ, for example. So Main-Taunus-Zentrum in Frankfurt, but we have also seen something very good at the A10. We saw something very good in Magdeburg already. So we don't see a clear pattern here, so we really think it's more the process when the individual federal states came up with their relief measures or their opening up measures.
Mm-hmm. Okay,
so it's better to see in 4 weeks' time, 6 weeks' time, then we see whether somebody would be left behind or so.
So definitely it's more or less a question of the easing of the regulation. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, thank you.
Next question is from the line of Kai Kluse from Berenberg. Please go ahead.
Good morning, gentlemen. I've got three questions, if I may. The first one is regarding the minus 0.5% reduction in revenues adjusted by the crisis. Could you indicate where this came from and what was the average rent from lease renewals or lease extensions? Was that much lower, or could you maybe indicate what was the level there?
Yeah, I think we lost is probably still the wrong word because we don't know yet, but we had to treat some 800,000 rents in Poland that we could not invoice. So if you would account due to Corona, yeah, but this is the last 2 weeks in Poland, so if you would account that and adjust that, we would have had a plus 0.5%. Yeah, not a minus 0.9, if you're heading that question. Yeah, so on the renewal rate, we do not formally publish that, but of course in Germany it was a negative, like with all of our peers. This was pre-Corona also the case with inflation help on the one hand with rents, and on the renewals we would lose a bit, which is also true for some of our peers in Germany and the Netherlands, so this hasn't changed, but we are now at a new, I wouldn't call it a new game, but this normal KPI now becomes a different, we need to look at that from a different angle.
Second question would be on the other operating expenses. Could you indicate what caused the increase by about 1 million? I think in the interim report you mentioned that was related to one-off financing costs and higher consultancy costs?
Yeah, roughly half of it was really the agency fee that we signed up the loan, the signing fee. And other half was also related to some legal costs. So you can imagine that we ramped up here with also on the legal side to tackle the situation, looking at Corona, looking at the various jurisdictions, the new legislations being prepared. We were following that day by day, and we, of course, were supported. The financing is not a one-off because it comes every 4 years. And, of course, we don't hope that the legal fees will stay that high going forward. Yeah.
Thank you. And then two last questions on the financing side. Could you indicate what is the amount of unrestricted cash? When you say you have 183 million cash, how much of that is unrestricted? And during your talks with banks, how have they not only progressing, but also how have they changed to ask, do banks ask maybe for covenants or higher margins? Maybe you could elaborate a bit more on that.
I'll take the first part of the question and then give the word to my colleague Olaf Borkers here. We are working a bit. I mean, on the group level, we have some 70, 75 million, which you directly could say is unrestricted. But then there's also some unrestricted liquidity in the companies, the SPVs itself. Yeah, most of the time, we have one SPV for a shopping center. So part of that is unrestricted. Others might be reserved for investments that have been planned in the long term. And that's how we kept it. So we left the cash first on the level of the companies to be able to cope whatever comes in any reasonable scenario, and we have some 75 million here on top, if you want to say so, in the group in case of need. Yeah, but we don't see that at the moment. And our scenarios that we run, and we are well in that scenarios, but of course we are just 2 months down the overall situation here. All of our companies are able to cope with their cash on their own. Yeah. So let's hope that there's no second wave, but then we would have, of course, this extra cash on top here in the group.
So you're making up on that.
Plus the credit line, which we, under some circumstances, also could use, yeah.
So maybe a quick one on that. How does the 183 million split up?
Yeah, it's two-thirds is free cash, if you want to say so, but the free cash you always use for something, and it's to be going to use to solve these issues here or to get new tenants in, or if it's not needed in an SPV, it's maybe handed over to the group, yeah. So two-thirds, if you want to have that number.
And there's no cash reserved for banks as an additional security for loans.
If that's the question, yeah, maybe. Okay.
So it's fully free for us.
Okay.
And coming to the second question, which is perhaps a part of the first one, no, we do not have any real question from banks asking for higher margins or more or stronger covenants. No, it's more vice versa. Very individually, banks address to ask and offer to start a negotiation for waiving individual covenants. We are very comfortable with the covenants, but we are very open also for banks asking for offering waiving covenants because it's less work for us, and obviously there is a general rule from the BaFin which says that if banks generally often waivers, then they have softer regulations how to cope with those loans.
So just to get that right, so the banks are less restrictive in their lending criteria, and in return do they ask for higher margins? I would assume they don't give that for free, so...
No, it's, nobody said that they are much more restrictive. We said to you that we are still in very amicable negotiations with our banks for these two loans, which are made during mid-2021. They are continuing their credit process, and the other banks with which we already have loans, they are also amicable with us. Generally speaking, yes, now it would be much more difficult to get the refinancing of a loan if you start negotiations today, but saying that again, we started already in October 2019 for these loans, and what we also did is we started a big information campaign to all of our banks, which means Mr. Llewellyn and myself, we visited all of our banks since August 2019 to inform them about our business and our strategy. That was originally due to the online competition and our reaction, but it was now very helpful for what happens today, because partially we had in the audience 30 persons in one bank, from the management, whole management, down to all the credit analysts. That is very helpful because we had very trustful discussions.
Thank you very much. And the very last question from Max would be just to understand the 4.6% of insolvencies from a tenant's perspective, or let's say from the company who may be advising the tenants who maybe want to stay in your shopping center. How do the negotiation process on the new rent then will take place? Are tenants in the insolvency in a way better positioned than tenants who ask for rent deferral, that they can ask for a reduction, or how does that work legally?
It's a very individual process. Of course, the legal framework is different if you have a tenant that is in an insolvency procedure. Nevertheless, we usually talk then about portfolios, and there are always in those portfolios shops that are working better, or that are in shopping centers that are probably more dominant, like in Dresden or like in the Montana Centrum, and there are others that are probably not performing that well. And this is then always done, of course, from our portfolio, the residential portfolio, on a portfolio view. And then it will be a give and take, and we need to judge whether the tenant is worthwhile enough to do how much. And for the tenant, it's then a question to ask, looking at his overall business, his whole portfolio, how important the shop is for him. And then it's a tough negotiation, yeah, shop by shop, through the whole portfolio. Yeah, so there is no general approach, but we are, of course, in those cases, like in the others, very close and constant contact with the ECE, setting up our strategies and discussing what we can think of or what we can't think of. But these negotiations just have started. Yeah.
Thank you very much.
Next question is from the line of Jaap Kuin from Kempen. Please go ahead.
Hi, good morning. My first question would be kind of a follow-up on an earlier question on the kind of midterm outlook for malls, or maybe even more near-term outlook. So if you look at footfall and the current restrictions in place, traffic control, maximum amount of shoppers per shop, looking at kind of the recovery potential for your traffic, I mean, let's say that 2019 was kind of the hypothetical 100%. What do you think is kind of the theoretical maximum and theoretical level you could reach versus that 100% last year, taking into account all of these restrictions? I mean, what do you see as kind of the practical limit there for the moment?
This is a very, very difficult question, and let me be that frank. We don't have a crystal ball here. Yeah? I think when the shops open up, when the restrictions like the mask go away, we hope to come back to old levels again. But to make a prediction, it's very, very difficult. Yeah, what we hear so far is that, for example, the frequencies are, of course, lower at the moment, but the average ticket, so the consumption, is higher per visitor, because, of course, you don't go to a mall today in these days to stroll through it, yeah, or to have a walk. You just want to do something. So the overall outcome is also not clear on that end. I hope that we come close to the old levels, But it's not a prediction. It's very hard to say. This is a new normality. But, I mean, we are days before a reasonable reopening, and we are at 50, and we now see 55, 57 the day, so we are coming back. I would love to know the number, whether we come back to 99 or 100%. I don't know. I think we'll come back to very, really good and certain extent.
Okay, thanks. And then maybe on the you've also highlighted you signed a couple of leases recently. So is there anything you can say on the change in the rent of the leases you've renewed since kind of the start of April?
To be honest, there are not too many releasing cases since the start of April. There are normal extensions, yeah, but all those terms usually had agreed on, let's say, before, because you don't talk for months and then sign on. You usually talk about months. So it's too early to see the effects out of that. But, of course, it hasn't become easier to release at the moment. No. It's too early.
Okay. Yeah, okay, that's clear. And then maybe just finally, could you maybe comment on the turnover of the Digital Mall initiative, and then how can you describe the economics of that turnover, how the profits are shared there? Thanks.
Yeah, that's also not possible. At the moment, it's a marketing tool. It's that the customers, and now take aside Corona, yeah, but of course it's also true then going forward, are much better informed what they could find in a shopping center, that they are not really taking a detour to the internet, to e-commerce right away, because they probably love to go to a shopping center, but they have plenty of stores and it's very lengthy to find the right product there. So at the moment, it's more marketing tool, really steering back frequencies and thereby turnovers to the mall, but there's no accounting possible at the moment. At a later stage, when the Digital Mall is really successful and really transactions can be done through it, so not just reservations, but really transactions, then you can start and put that into proportion of tenant turnovers. And yeah, then still it would be a theoretical number to allocate part of our profit to that new turnover or let's say recover turnover. Yeah.
But from my understanding, the let's say in the kind of ownership of this initiative, is that with you or ECE or who's the eventual owner of this platform?
This is ECE. Yeah, we're just having let's say the infrastructure. And for us, it's a marketing tool. And, of course, it's the running costs so far will be paid by the tenants through the marketing association. And it's their tool to really connect to the Internet to become really omnichannel. Yeah?
Yeah.
So we have really overseeable some infrastructure costs to set up this, the various stages.
Yeah. And then maybe just – thanks for that. And then maybe just my final question on valuations, given that we're not at half year end, of course, but I think you highlighted in the previous call that you would consider a half year valuation. Is that still the case? And did you already engage in discussions with appraisers? And did that give you any indications where things are moving?
Yeah, very good question. Of course, we want to do it half year in these special situations, and we plan to do so. So we have engaged them. But of course, they are now in talks, and like let's say 07 or 08, when the market was basically dry, they would have come up to let's say a matrix how to handle that. But also for them, I think it's too early. We will have to see whether there are some really deals in the market, but I would consider those deals more or less not really good comparables, because they probably would be distressed, so they wouldn't take them really as a comparable. I think they would have to come up with seeing how, let's say, maybe rent packages look like at this early stage still, because 30th of June is away only 6 weeks, yeah, so it's not that long. We've talked to them, but they are also in the midst, I will be honest with you, but they have to come up for the industry with some guidance, and I'm sure they will make, like the last crisis day where they would have to come up with valuations, yeah. But, you know, it's on the one hand, is if you believe in still shopping centers that people go out, and so we lose quite a substantial cash flow this year. And the question is, what is sustainable rent going forward? But they run discounted cash flows. So the overall impact might not be that big, but of course it will be visible. You know, that's my expectation. But comparables are not there yet. No.
Yeah, makes sense. Okay, thanks a lot.
Next question is from the line of Frank Bellendorf from VM. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good morning. I'd like to come back to your negotiations with your tenants. What is the direction of the talks? Could you elaborate on it a little bit more? I mean, for example, is it more a short duration adjustment the tenants demand, or is it a longer term contract adjustment for the rest of the contract period, for example?
Yeah, I would like to answer that there's a whole toolbox out that you would have to discuss with the tenants according to their needs. So it could be something that is just that you don't do anything, by the way, even though a tenant is asking, yeah, if it's strong enough. But then you have to be in mind that sometimes this lease comes up for releasing and you need to think what you do. There are others, especially the very small operators, where you do probably need to do something for the first couple of months or weeks. Sorry, I don't want to prejudge your thoughts and something more extensively. But you can work on also extensions. You can hook them on for the digital mall and things like that. So it's really hard to give you a general mechanic. But I mean, there are experts at ECE, plenty of them. Well, they have seen crises before, not in Germany, but in other countries. So they know how to use a toolbox. And it really depends on the needs of the customer and our needs. Yeah. So sometimes it then makes sense to give in properly on the rents, also midterm, and then extend and then secure that anchor going forward. Yeah. So this how this runs into numbers, we'll have probably a first view in summer, but this will be still then ongoing. Yeah. So there's no one size fits all here. Yeah. There will be certain types of tenants, like the small individual shop players, you probably need to treat different, like the big anchors who behave different and probably have other wishes on their list, and then it's part of tough negotiations. I think they are cooperative, but they are tough, as you can imagine, and that will be true for our peers as well, I strongly believe.
Okay. My second question is, do you have any legal rights to demand the shortfalls from the corona crisis against the state or whatever? Yeah. have you checked that?
Yeah, some lawyer came up that potentially in the Czech Republic there's a law that we could sue the state. This is a very, very far move. Legally, I mean, the legal situation is different, like the commercial. For example, in Germany, there are no tax rent holidays. Yeah, it's still all a shifting of rents, and you just cannot terminate tenants. So nobody's thinking about termination in that situation because we are partners. Yeah, we're living in symbiosis. In Poland, there's a difference. There is a real, let's say, legal tax holiday for the closing period. However, with a clawback clause. So maybe some of the tenants might need to pay back what they haven't paid in March and April if they do not offer us for extension. So they're very complex laws. But this, the overwhelming fact is the commercial part of the equation. Of course, we look at the legal situation very much, but then, of course, the commercial situation. But I think a clawback against the state, I think the German association is now trying to get government aid if we reduce rents, that they take part of that. It seems to be a very long shot, but it's, of course, being tried, and I'm part of that since recently. There are other initiatives being thought of in the Czech Republic, but there are early stages that the government thinks about something. But this will be just a small proportion of the rent at stake. Yeah. We'll preserve our legal position in your interest and our shareholders' interest, but on the other hand, we are beyond just legal argumentation here. And I think you all know that.
Sure. Thank you very much.
As a reminder, if you would like to ask a question, please press star followed by one on your touch tone telephone. Next question is from the line of Thomas Martin from HSBC. Please go ahead.
Hi, good morning. To follow up from my side. Again, on the lease structures, I hear that what you say and then that all is quite individual. But is it fair to assume that going forward, the variable component in the lease terms or lease structure is becoming more relevant? I mean, so far you've mainly base rent or fixed rent and the turnover component is quite small, but is it a fair assumption going forward?
Yeah, this statement has been true before Corona, yeah, because tenants' life became more variable and sometimes they were even willing to share a higher proportion of rent instead of then changing that against the lower minimum rents. So this was just a slight trend, but I think it's fair to assume that this trend continues. The magnitude, I can't tell. Yeah.
Okay. And then again on the rents, the deferred rent payments. Can you give us the absolute number or the rent behind or the rental income which is deferred and for this year?
Yeah, for this year I cannot, but we have 2 months lying behind, being mostly affected, and this is some 35 million of extra outstandings, because if you collect rent, you also collect the ancillary costs, which are quite substantial in shopping center, roughly 20% of rent, and in many cases we also have the outstandings here. So if you take 70% of 2 months rent plus 20%, you're roughly at that number. Yeah, so it's a very rough back on the envelope number. But we are a cash flow producing entity, and if your customers do not pay for the 2 months, it's a quite visible amount summing up over time. Yeah.
Okay. And then
again, we're very strong enough to sustain this. Yeah. But I mean, profit wise, if this would all become write downs, of course, profit wise, this is very painful. Going concern basis, we're safe. I should say that. Yeah, we have no liquidity shortages there. Yeah.
Sure. And that just brings me to the next question. It's a bit of an accounting question. Maybe I missed something here, but I mean, a deferred rent is not affected in your IFRS top line in revenue normally, right? But it is impacting the FFO.
Yeah, indeed, that's a very good question. If you, and this question was also then asked, I mean, of course, you first book it as rent income, but then you have to judge what's the value of that. Do you need to do some write-downs? Yeah, but then it would go to the FFO in number terms. Yeah, in number terms, yes. So it's a very interesting question, and the auditors or the audit association like the ASAB I heard are thinking about how to treat it, because you probably know when we have, let's say, incentives in a normal time, they are allocated over time. Yeah, so let's say if you have 4 weeks free rent, this is allocated over, let's say, a 10-year contract, so you basically don't see it. If this would be true for the rents that we are now talking about, the deferrals, you would be getting through IFRS very, I wouldn't call it from a cash flow point of view, misleading numbers. So ISAB is now considering whether we should treat it, so not allocate it over time, but just book it as it come in, a little bit like that, yeah. Mm-hmm. But this is still open, and we'll see what comes out at the end of the second quarter. That's right. Then FFO from a booking point of view is probably not the cash you really would see then for that specific period of time.
It is captured there. So the rent you don't get within the next month, or you didn't receive in April and in May, and probably you won't get in June, will not be part of the FFO. So will be in the revenue line mainly, but not in the FFO.
No, it will be also in the FFO. If we don't write it down, yeah, for example, if we know there's no economic substance behind. But we will, of course, make transparent what our outstanding sind at the end of the quarter. That otherwise, in our business, you know, FFO basically was 99.5% of the real cash that was happening with us, and this will now deviate. And we will make it transparent that you get a good feeling what the cash collection ratio is and the outstandings. Yeah.
Okay. That's for my side. Thank you.
There are no further questions at this time, and I would like to hand back to Mr. Wilhelm Wellner for closing comments. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for listening and the open questions. I hope you appreciate the open answers. I think not as grim as it looks, but it's tough times. Stay positive, go out shopping, and we hope to hear you then soon in the latest in the next call. Thank you very much for participating.